The story is told of a Westerner who came to Africa on an important expedition, and he hired some of the local tribesmen to help him carry his provisions on this long trek. So on the first day, they traveled rapidly, and they covered a great distance, and this man had high expectations for the next day and the hopes of a speedy journey. But on the second day, the tribesmen were sitting around making no effort to get moving, and on closer inspection, they refused to move at all. The interpreter then told him that they had gone too fast on the first day and that they now had to wait for their souls to catch up with them. Can we have the second slide, please, Aaron? We live a fast-paced life. There never seems to be enough hours in the day to get through everything that we need to do. And we become stressed as we try to keep up with the demands that life places on us. Having hardly enough time to get through doing what needs to be done, to then stop and rest seems counterproductive. Do you agree? And to then take that time puts us under even further pressure, like Michelle said earlier on. To rest is no longer a part of our modern lifestyle. We look at it as a luxury, and then we feel guilty when we do indulge in it. We are educated, and we think that we have progressed. But the tribesmen in that story knew what they had to do to restore balance into their lives. Can we have the next slide, please, Aaron? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The ESV, that was the NIV, ESV. Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is Jesus speaking. If he says you will find rest, it's not you should, you could, maybe, hope that you will. No, you will find rest for your souls. So let's look at these words and what they mean. What does labor and heavily laden mean? It's a physical tiredness. It's being exhausted from hard work. Figuratively speaking, it's like a vehicle or an animal carrying a heavy load. What is weary and burdened? This is a spiritual tiredness. This is when we are exhausted from responsibilities, from grief, from fear, from depression and stress. We have all heard this invitation many times before, and you might have experienced any of the following thoughts. One, I tried it and it didn't work for me. Two, scripture only applies to certain people and I'm not one of those people. Or three, I struggle to believe that it can be this easy. Or four, I would love to, I just don't know where to start. And I think that's the place where all of us are at. We just need to know how to start. So today we're going to help you with that. Can I have the next slide, please, Aaron? Who is invited? Everyone who labors and are weary. Do you qualify? I certainly do. Who's inviting us? Jesus, the giver of life, our creator. We just worshipped his supremacy and his greatness and all these worship songs that we sang. He is the one inviting us. The one whose love for us was so great that he laid down his life. John 15 verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life. Would Jesus die for us on a cross and then not care that we get tired. So let's look at rest. This is what the dictionary says rest is. Rest is to cause one to cease from movement or labor, to take ease in order to recover and collect one's strength and become refreshed, to keep calm and quiet with patient expectation. That's what rest is. So this rest that Jesus speaks of is a spiritual rest. When we are physically tired, we can sleep and wake up refreshed. But when we are spiritually exhausted, it's hard to recover even if we have a good sleep. The spiritual tiredness and is such a burden on our souls that we need more than just sleep to recover from that. In fact, it's difficult, if you'll agree, if not nearly impossible, to sleep well when our souls are burdened. We know what it's like. We lay our head down on the pillow and our minds start racing. A list of all those tasks undone, all the problems we couldn't solve, all the brokenness we couldn't heal, all the worries and fears seem to take over, and frustratingly we lie there and we watch the minutes tick by and then the hours. Many of us are suffering from a rest deficit right now because our understanding of rest and sleep is a little bit blurred. You see, rest is so much more than sleep. Rest is a preventative measure. It's all about longevity and resilience. It's not a luxury. It's not a nice to have. It's essential. And the wonderful thing is that this rest does not depend on us or even our circumstances. This rest depends on the one who gives it to us as a gift. This rest is our party favor in return when we accept this invitation from Jesus. I love how easy God makes things for us. We are the ones who overcomplicate things. His solutions are always so easy. Jesus says, have a break, step back, relax, and rest. Adrian Rogers famously said, if the devil cannot make you bad, then he will make you busy. And we know the devil does not come to us when we are well-rested and alert and on guard. No, he catches us when we are tired, when we are exhausted. He even tempted Jesus when Jesus was hungry and tired. The devil is not going to go, oh, shame, Pam, you had such a hectic week. You are under so much stress. I'll give you a break until next week before I bring my temptation along. Never, ever. He is she right now with that stress. I don't even know if you're under stress right now, Pam, sorry. But she's a target because that's when we are weak. So the devil will do anything within his power to steal our rest from us. Let's look at the Sabbath day rest. In Exodus 20, verse 8 to 10, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. God took the Sabbath day very seriously. In Exodus 1, we read that someone who works on the Sabbath day should be put to death. Thank you, Lord, for the new covenant of grace. The Bible tells us that the Sabbath is a privilege. It's a gift to us, a day that God set apart for us to not only rest physically, but also spiritually in worshiping and honoring Him. He knows better than what we do that we need both spiritual and physical rest. Resting is when we recuperate, rejuvenate, and recenter. And it's important to God that we are rested because we cannot serve Him well if we are tired. The more rested we are, the better we serve Him. It's important to Him. In Luke, we read the story of Mary and Martha, where's Amorei, who walked in and said, the Martha and the Mary thing, because she's in a quiet season. How strange is this? We're all complaining about a busy season. Right now, Amorei is in a quiet season. And she said to me, I'm struggling because I don't know how not to do things. Luke 10, verse 41. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, I laughed that he had to repeat her name. We can get so caught up in our busyness and our things that we don't hear when God calls our name. So Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, Mary was very busy doing temporary things for the Lord, good things, while Mary was sitting at his feet, receiving spiritual things from him, which had eternal value. Jesus means that we should not allow for things to distract us and have us miss out on that time that we should be spending with him. It doesn't always mean because we can do something, but that we should always do it. Zelda gives a loving warning. Zelda says that weariness comes to us when we are operating in our own strength. You see, if we are too busy doing things for Jesus and we are not spending enough time receiving from him, we will become weary and stressed. And you know that saying, too stressed to be blessed, that will be us. There was a time in my life when I simultaneously ran my own business, managed a home, raised three children, kept things together, and I was studying. But because I was so busy, I could easily say no to things I knew I wouldn't have time for. I laugh at Renette. Is Renette here today? Do you know how often Renette says, I think I should go back to work full-time. I had more time when I was working full-time. Because if we don't have official office hours, and that happened to many of us after COVID, we so easily commit to too many things, and then we get overwhelmed and weary. I don't make New Year's resolutions, but this year I decided to be more intentional with my time because I was that overwhelmed girl by the end of last year. And I would like to say that even though I've been rather busy so far, I feel as if I'm in more control. I seem to be coping better because I'm intentional. And the beauty is that I'm spending so much more time with God because I'm intentional in setting time aside for him and not allowing for anything to distract me from that. God is not going to organize our calendars, ladies. He gave us the ability to do so. And therefore, we have to be mindful, we have to be intentional, and we need to set down boundaries. And we're going to talk about that just now. The problem is not the busy world that we live in. The problem is this heart that lives inside of us. We should aim to cultivate a Mary heart within a Martha world. Can we have the next slide, please, Aaron? So I borrowed this mnemonic from a lady named Asherita Chuchu. Rest. And this is the mnemonic. R is for us to remember God's goodness. We all suffer from soul amnesia. We so easily forget who God is, what he has done for us, and then our hearts seem to lose that sense of wonder for him. We should be intentional in remembering his goodness. And a beautiful way to do just this is to meditate on who Scripture says Jesus is, our wonderful Savior, and what he has done for us. And we've got two Scripture verses there, Psalm 103, 2-5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who fills your life with good things. And then Psalm 34, verse 4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. We need to express our neediness because we try to do everything ourselves. And we often live our lives as if we can get by on our own. But this self-sufficiency is a deadly blow to our spiritual lives, because the truth is we desperately need Jesus. There is a beautiful vulnerability that comes when we surrender all that we are to all that he is. And we've got two verses there, Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. I earnestly seek for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. Philippians 4, verse 19. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. In a story, Max Licato uses an example of a father and child who are walking home. The streets are crowded and the traffic is busy, and being small, the child cannot see much of what is ahead. The father doesn't say to the child, hey, let's see if you can find your own way home, or let's see how good you are at dodging the cars. The father gives the child one responsibility only. He says, hold onto my hand. And that's what we need to do. We need Jesus, and therefore, we need to hold onto his hand. We need to seek his stillness. We push ourselves at breakneck speed. We wake up early in the mornings. We stay up until late at night, squeezing every daylight hour for all it's worth. And then we find ourselves sometimes constantly exhausted by our hustle. Who's tired? It's only February. We've got 10 months ahead. We need to get this thing right now. We need to learn how to incorporate moments of stillness within our busyness so that we can work from a place of wholeness and rest. The truth is that God's strength comes to us when we seek him in those quiet places and when we rest in his peace. The secret to anxiety-free living is less about doing and more about receiving. He is our place of rest. Sometimes our busyness can also become a very good excuse to avoid those challenging relationships. You know, when you can't go or be or do because you're so busy, but it's really just avoiding a challenging relationship. And sometimes our busyness becomes a disguise to hide our deepest hurts. When we are busy, we don't have to acknowledge those painful wounds that we carry. And so we leave no task undone, even if it threatens to undo us. This happened to me after my late husband passed away. Instead of dealing with the pain, I chose busyness and I became the world's busiest lady. When my children went to bed at night, I would get a ladder, get up and paint the ceilings because I could only sleep when I was physically exhausted. My dad looked at me one day and said, "Jy gaan vir jouself dood werk." It was only after there was nothing left for me to do in the physical that I started spending every waking moment at the feet of Jesus, soaking up his beautiful presence, and he healed me. You see, I could not heal myself. Work could not heal me. Jesus healed me. Dare to be still. Even if you start only with 10 minutes a day, bring that to-do list, like Michelle said, and lay it down at his feet. Soak up the beauty of his presence, and during that time, allow for him to heal your deeper hurts. We've got two verses there, Psalm 46, verse 10a. We all know this beautiful verse. It says, be still and know that I am God. Maybe we can only know that he is God when we are really, truly still. Isaiah 30, verse 15, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And then trust his faithfulness. Imagine that your car is broken and you need to get to an important meeting on time. Would you ask for a lift from that friend who is always late for everything? And this may be a silly example, but whether we realize it or not, we are constantly evaluating the trustworthiness of the things and the people around us. We do the same with God. We just sang about how sovereign our God is. Yet, when it comes to our finances, our broken relationships, our hidden hurts, our dreams for the future, subconsciously we negotiate just how much we can trust God's faithfulness. Ladies, each busy moment in our lives is a new opportunity to trust God's faithfulness in a million little ways. And it all starts with resting in Him. Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." And then Psalm 9, verse 10, "Those who know your name trust in you." What if instead of rushing headlong into our busy days, we start each morning with a simple practice of rest? Remember his goodness, express your need for him, seek his stillness, and trust his faithfulness. Our goal is not to know every detail of the future. Our goal is to hold on to the hand of the one who does and to never let go. So let's have a look at stress. I had to ask my friend Google, and this is what Google says. Stress is when life demands more of us than what we have to give. Stress is the number one proxy killer in the world. It affects the entire body, and it's the basic cause of more than 60% of all human illness and disease. Cortisol is our stress hormone, and normal levels help to regulate many functions within our bodies. One of its important functions is to suppress inflammation. Now, cortisol is a good thing, but too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And if we consistently have high levels of cortisol caused by stress in our bodies, it affects the whole body and it can lead to inflammation, weight gain, high blood sugar levels, digestive issues, heart disease, high blood pressure, and a weakened immune system. Autoimmune disease is more prevalent amongst women, and although it is not the main cause, stress definitely contributes. And I'm sure all of us know a couple of ladies who are battling with autoimmune disease. So although resting may seem like wasting time, it's an essential component of our overall well-being. And understanding the different types of rest can help us to prioritize better self-care so that we can find the right balance. True rest is our right. It's not a luxury, it's our right. It's our right to be calm, to be peaceful, and to have joy even when we are not on holiday. True rest should be relaxing. It should be refreshing, and it should be healing, but it requires a bit of discipline. If we know how to rest well, the result will be that we become women who are peaceful, joyful, and calm, relaxed, and we owe that to our families. My heart bleeds for dear friends who are currently under so much stress at work that they confidently and with shame have to admit that they need to take tranquilizers just to help them cope at work. Blood pressure medication and try with the tranquilizers is just there to try and prevent them from going over the edge and ending up having a stroke or suffering from long-term depression. And I get so angry. I get so angry when I hear that, because ladies, that's the enemy stealing our rest. We are the ones who have to stand firm. We need to take ground. We need to go to war, and we need to claim back our rest. Why should we give him the power to steal our rest from us? And then we need to look at boundaries, because a lack of boundaries can contribute hugely to busyness and stress. So when who we are becomes confused with what we do and what people expect of us, our boundary lines get confused. And we end up doing things for other people that they can do for themselves. taking responsibility for their needs rather than our own needs. As Christians, we ought to help. We need to reach out to those in need. But we need to know the difference between being responsive to the legitimate needs of others and rescuing them from the consequences of their own irresponsible behavior. Failure to do so can damage both ourselves and the other people. I know it's not easy to say no, but we need to understand that some people are not sensitive to the needs of others because they're so focused on their own. And so sometimes we just need to say, sorry, no, but I can't help. And we do not say this out of a self-serving laziness. I'm going to repeat that. We do not say no out of self-serving laziness, but for God-honoring health and balance. We need healthy boundaries, and we need to communicate these boundaries to others. People will not automatically know where your boundaries lie. That's your responsibility to share that with them. Don't be scared, because if people love you and they really care about you, then they will respect and honor your boundaries. I'm paraphrasing a quote by Jane Rabieta. Ladies, if you identify with Martha, then who and what is stopping you from sitting at the feet of Jesus? And why are you giving them the power to do so? Exodus 19 verse 12a reads, "And you shall set boundaries for the people all around." So clear boundaries were God's idea, and they were created by Him for our protection. Can we have the sixth slide, please, Aaron? Did you know that we have basic rest-related needs? We have basic rest-related needs. If we are always tired, we may not be getting enough rest across all of these rest-related needs. So we have to create a deliberate rest practice. Seven kinds of rest have been identified by professionals. And I love that God has given us 7 days in the week. So if we are mindful in planning our week, we can include at least one of these types of rest that we are going to look at now for each day in order to create a good balance across all seven areas. Sometimes we also have to consciously go and put rest back into an area where we may have been depleted. So the seven types of rest. Next slide, please, Aaron. Thank you. We need physical rest. We need to give our bodies the time and the care that it needs to recover and repair itself. And this includes sleeping. Because while we are sleeping, our body has a chance to repair tissue. It's got a chance to consolidate our memories. And it also regulates all our various bodily functions. So you have got notes printed for you, which will say exactly what I'm going to say now, so you can take that home with you. You don't need to take notes. So try and get enough sleep. Lie on the couch when you need it, and don't feel guilty. Gentle movement, like stretching or a slow walk, helps to reduce stress and improve our sleep quality. If you can afford the luxury of a massage, then you book one regularly. But there's something called deep breathing, box breathing. Some people call it square breathing. And it's so beneficial for our overall health. And the bonus is that it doesn't cost a thing. So we're quickly going to practice a bit of box breathing. Very easy. You're going to sit straight up on your chair. And this is how it works. I'll explain it first and then we're going to do it. Make sure you're straight up. So if you can picture a box or a square, I'm going to count to four, and while I count to four, you are going to inhale deeply. You are going to fill your lungs right into your abdomen. So we're going to do one, two, three, four. During that time, you inhale. Then you're going to hold your breath while I count to four. And then when I count to four, you're going to inhale slowly and focus on how your breath leaves your body, your lungs, and then your abdomen. And then you're going to not breathe at all until I'm going to count to four again. So we're going to do a box. Okay, so are we ready? This is not breathing. This is deep breathing. So suck in that air, ladies, until you can't, and hold. Okay, let's go. I'll count quickly for those of you who are not used to it. Okay. All right, let's start. We're going to inhale. Inhale, one, two, three, four, hold. One, two, three, four. Exhale slowly. One, two, three, four. Don't breathe. One, two, three, four. Now, I count it fast. When you do it at home, count slower. And try and do it longer next time. Count to five, count to six, count to seven. See how far you can get and still feel comfortable. This is so beneficial for your health. If you just go and look up some information on deep breathing, you will be absolutely amazed at how good it is for so many kinds of diseases, including stress. In fact, I did some box breathing right there before I came up to speak today so that I could be nice and calm. Number two, mental rest. Mental rest gives our brains a break and allows for it to recharge so that we can get that sense of inner peace. It's where reflection happens, and it's during a time of mental rest that we discover how we are feeling and how we are growing as a woman. It's about being able to quiet and calm our minds, taking a break from screens and technology, periodically stepping away from our work to rest our minds, meditating on scripture, journaling for those of you who like to write, or just doodling. Just stop working, take a piece of paper, and just doodle. No one's ever going to see it because you're just going to throw it again and start up next time. Spending time in nature is another way to practice mental rest, because when we connect with the outdoors, it brings a sense of calm to our souls like nothing else can do. Emotional rest. Ladies, we are responsible for our emotional rest, not other people. Can't blame your husband. We get emotional rest by spending time with people who bring us joy, people who make us laugh. We cut back on people-pleasing. Emotional rest is not being with difficult people. If we are constantly dealing with people who drain our energy, who demand our emotional support and personal problem-solving, we are going to become emotionally tired. So we step away from that periodically. We set boundaries and we communicate these boundaries to others. We experience emotional rest by laughing. So find that funny movie that makes you laugh. By writing a letter to someone whom we love. By having quiet time, cuddle time with our husbands. By meeting with our life group. By sharing in honesty with someone whom you can trust about how you are feeling and what your needs are. And by getting Christian counseling and therapy if you need it. Creative rest. I firmly believe that every human being has the inclination towards creative activity. It just manifests differently for each individual. We need these creative activities that involve stepping away from work, taking a break, and shifting our focus from our daily responsibilities so that we can tap into our imagination and express ourselves in different ways. So those are cooking, writing, painting, playing with our children, playing with your grandchildren. That's creative activity. Doing DIY projects, making something, anything. Dancing, gardening, reading a book, or learning to play an instrument. And I'm sure there are so many more things that we can do to be creative. And then we need social rest. Now, social rest is very important for introverts. That means taking a break from socializing and giving ourselves alone time. Because finding a healthy balance between rest and socializing is important. And once again, for us to do this and to honor this, we need to set boundaries. Then we've got sensory rest. Sensory rest is finding a place to escape the noise and the distractions of life. It can be incredibly restorative, and it's important to take a break from stimulation to allow our senses to rest. Hitting a pause on all forms of screen time, turning down the lights and the noise. Walking in nature. Walking on the sea sand. How are we going to do this? We are going to walk on the grass. Have you ever walked barefoot on the grass after dinner or early morning in the cool of the day? Don't do it midday. Go and walk barefoot on the grass tonight after you've had your dinner. And then you let me know how wonderful it was. Take a warm bath with a scented candle. Listen to soft, calming music with the emphasis on soft, calming music. Three senses stimulated all at once. And you only need to do that once a week when your husband is being creative, playing with the children. So spiritual rest, that's when we take time to connect with God. It gives us a sense of belonging and purpose because nothing in this life has meaning at all unless we have purpose and we know that we belong. And God is the only one who can nourish our souls. He's the only one who can bring clarity, purpose, and peace to our lives. We need to have a morning devotional time. We need to be still. We need to spend time in prayer, not only talking to God, but also listening to Him. We need to study our Bible. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So let's look at that verse again, Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me." He means trust in me. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And that means that He walks on the one end while we walk on the other. We share this yoke with the strong Son of God Himself.